WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with John Thorne. He is the official historian of Major League Baseball and the author of the new book, Baseball in the Garden of Eden, The Secret History of the Early Game. You know, we said we like to think of baseball as sort of fixed and unchanging, but it has changed. What are some of the major changes that we saw, you know, from the game of the 1880s to the modern game?
I think enclosed ballparks is of enormous importance because now you had a fence, no matter how distant, that you could hit the ball over. And little by little, slugging came into the game. Now, Ty Cobb, Sam Crawford, Frank Chance, you name the hitting heroes of the first decade of the century. There was no point in them hitting the ball, swinging at a pitch the way Babe Ruth did, because they weren't going to drive an old mushy ball in the seventh inning over a fence 500 feet away anyway. The innovation of enclosed fields and ever-diminishing distances to the wall, so the ball players get larger, the fields get smaller, power becomes more easy to accomplish. The game changes. Pitching becomes a game of throwing breaking balls. You can't throw a ball down the middle. You cannot take it easy with batters 7, 8, and 9 because anybody can hurt you in today's lineup.
So the fact that they enclosed the fields and made them close enough for hitters to hit a ball out of the ballpark required pitchers to pitch more aggressively and not give hitters that chance.
Actually, Dave, I would say they began to pitch more defensively. Mm-hmm. Today's pitcher nibbles at the corners, throws more breaking pitches than fastballs with a handful of exceptions, and those exceptions tend to be relief pitchers. So good old country hardball, the kind of ball that Cy Young might throw or Walter Johnson might throw, that's pretty much a thing of the past for a starting pitcher.
And the ball itself, how much has it changed since, say, the Civil War?
The ball between the Civil War and, say, 1900, there's a lot of variation. The home clubs supplied the ball, and those home clubs that had good hitting clubs might supply a livelier ball. The league made specifications as to how the ball should be made beginning in the 1870s, but these were sometimes ignored. Taking a ball that had been bashed around for 4 or 5 innings and replacing it with a clean ball, this didn't start until the 1920s. It was after a Cleveland shortstop named Ray Chapman was hit in the head on a cloudy day by an underarm submarine delivery pitch by Carl Mays, and he died a day later, that the white baseball became paramount. Formerly, it was mushy, it was dirty, and the pitchers had an edge.
And when did the rule that allowed you to get someone out in the field by throwing the ball at him and plunking him, when did that disappear?
This is this idea that archaic versions of baseball disappear is mistaken. They survive. When I was a boy, I played ball games in which you could be struck by the ball between the bases and retired. So the archaic versions go back to the farm or go back to the playground. But in the Knickerbocker Baseball Club rules of 1845 and the rules as formalized at the convention in 1857 and then expanded upon by the major leagues in the years in the 1870s and beyond, soaking was never on the highest level of play, but it continued to lurk at the town level or county level.
Soaking, that's whacking somebody?
Soaking, plugging, yep.
Okay. Did you play baseball as a youngster?
I played baseball poorly. I had a pretty good glove. I could run, but I never mastered hitting. You know, I was always behind the decent fastball. I couldn't pull.
And have you always been passionate about the game?
Baseball was more than a passion for me. It was my ticket to becoming an American. I was born in a displaced persons camp to Holocaust survivors. And when I came over at 2 and a half, I had already begun to speak German, but I was stateless. I learned English by being thrust into a nursery school environment and learning to read off the backs of cereal boxes and baseball cards. So I fell in love with the cards before I'd ever seen a game.
You're now Major League Baseball's official historian. What does that mean? What do you do?
I serve. That is my mission. My mission is, I take it philosophically to mean that baseball has looked at what I've done over the years and thought that I might be helpful in attaching younger fans to the joys of the history of the game. That baseball is a tremendously exciting game. There's no question that the game as played on the field today is far better than it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, and so on. However, some things have been lost in terms of our attachment to story, and I'm hoping that I can make the game's history come to life.
Do you have a favorite place to watch a game?
At my age, which is 63, I will say that the trip to the ballpark, which involves a 2.5-hour auto trip each way, becomes a little rigorous. So the shorter distance to the refrigerator from my couch is very appealing.
What about minor league ballparks? They're everywhere. Great fun, aren't they?
Minor league ball is great. If any of our listeners are major league fans who have not seen minor league ball, I cannot urge them strongly enough to try it. If you want to see where the old ball game lives, this is where it lives.
Well, John Thorne, it's been fun. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.
John Thorne is the official historian of Major League Baseball. His new book is Baseball in the Garden of Eden, The Secret History of the Early Game. You can read an excerpt on our website, freshair.npr.org.